once accused me of coldly laying out my life like a blueprint. He said that I fitted all my actions, my friends, family, lovers, into a preconceived plan with the calculating mind of an engineer. Your cold engineer, Cully, seems to have made a slight miscalculation somewhere.
This is Lone Journey, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Dreft. I don't know, I've seen all kinds of magic in my day, but I give you my word, I've never seen anything more amazing than the Dreft dishwashing test. Say, this is more than a stunt. It's the first really satisfactory answer to the pesky old problem of washing dishes in your hard water. Now look, here's what you do. Wash a glass in the soap you now use. Then wash a glass in Dreft suds. Rinse them both thoroughly and let them stand to dry. Don't wipe them with a towel, just let them dry by themselves. Well, you know half the answer already, don't you? You know before you even start about that glass washed with soap. Sure, it's going to be coated with a gray, cloudy film. You can't help it. That's hard water scum, the same thing that forms that ring around the dishpan or basin. And your glasses and dishes have to be polished and polished before you can get this film to come off. But, lady, you ain't seen nothing yet. Not until you hold that Dreft wash glass up to the light. And then you'll rub your eyes and think, can this be true? Why, it's shining crystal clear without a trace of filmy scum. And I never touched a towel to it. Hard to believe, isn't it? And yet, I wouldn't dare tell you these things if they weren't true. So why not do the logical thing? Try patented new Dreft just once and find out for yourself. When you see the oceans and oceans of active suds, Dreft makes in your hard water to chase grease out in a jiffy, and how radiantly clean the dishes dry without being wiped, then you'll have the proof right in front of your own eyes. Get patented new Dreft. That's Dreft. Dreft from your dealer today. Use it for doing the dishes tonight and see for yourself. While the valley of the Spear Tea Ranch in Montana is completely saturated in an almost liquid heat, the night air on the coast of Maine is light and cool. Nita Bennett, who is spending some weeks at the summer home of her Aunt Thompson, has walked up toward the house from a lonely evening swim. She stops at the garden gate, a few hundred yards from the beach. And then instead of going into the garden, she pulls herself up on the low stone wall and sits there looking straight ahead to where the sea and the sky and the land fuse in the common darkness of night. Far down the coast, a lighthouse methodically winks its single eye.
I might wink back at you, Light, if you weren't so cold and calculated about it. Still, I probably haven't any right to complain on that score. I've been accused of it myself. Cullen once told me that. The trouble with most people, he said, is that they didn't know what they want out of life. The trouble with me, he said, was that I knew too well what I wanted. You've accused me of coldly laying out my life like a blueprint. Said that I fitted all my actions, my friends, family, lovers into my plan with the calculating mind of an engineer. Your cold engineer seems to have made a slight miscalculation somewhere on a blueprint, Cully. When things didn't work out according to my plan, I didn't change the plan, you said. But I discarded whatever or whoever stood in the way of the blueprint's fulfillment. That is, that's what I did if you were right, Cullen. Wolf, for instance. When I married Wolf, you accused me of discarding you in favor of Wolf because you didn't fit into my plan. And now I've Now Wolf is gone. Is that really according to plan, too? Only then I didn't call it planned. It was my dream then.
Perhaps it was the word dream that made Nita live again through a moment of unmixed happiness that has always lived clearly in her memory. It was an evening in early spring when she and Wolf had gone to look at the still unfinished house in which they were soon to live. And she had said...
You know that while I sat in the car this afternoon, at least 20 people walked by and they all stopped to stare and stare.
And you? I don't blame them. You look too doggone pretty in that new hat.
Oh, it wasn't your wife they looked at, Mr. Bennett. It was your house. You should hear how they raved about it, both the men and women.
Oh, if only people like that... I mean people in an average community like this one. Nita, if only they'll go for the kind of houses I want to design, then...
Ah, then you'll be famous in no time and we'll be rich. And we'll have a grand big house in a not average community. And we'll build a glass case around this little house and keep it always for a souvenir.
Nita.
A grand big house in a not average community. Yes, that's what the blueprint called for. But the architect... the architect wouldn't follow it. So... he was discarded? Ah, yes, Cully. A good case could be made out for your charge. Cold, calculating, life laid out according to plan. It hasn't been quite so easy, though, to break the pattern as you seem to think, Cully. There are some things I'd rather forget. And those are the ones that I can't forget.
Now it's the evening that she told Wolf she could no longer bear their marriage that Nita remembers.
Nita...
Oh, Wolf, I'm so miserable.
Darling...
No, please. I'm miserable and unhappy because all this has happened. But it has, and there it is.
If I could only understand what has happened... Over a period of time, you've become so discouraged and so disgusted with my lack of material success that you've suddenly and without warning come to the end of your patience. Is that about it?
You make it sound awfully simple and awfully crass and crude on my part, Wolf.
I'm sorry, Nita. I'm very sorry.
Sorry that you hadn't fitted into the lady engineer's blueprint? Was that it, Wolf? But don't put all the blame on me, Wolf. You had your plans, too. And oh, my, how rigid and inviolable they were. If you'd been willing to compromise so much as a comma on your principles, your idealism, maybe we wouldn't be in this... Yes, Thompson?
Nita, where are you?
Here, by the gate.
What's the matter? Were you asleep?
Why didn't you answer me?
I didn't hear you, Thompson, dear, until you called the third time.
You didn't hear me? What? And here I had already conjured up the most frightful picture of your lily-white form washed lifeless upon the foaming shore.
Well, that would have given just the right finale to my scenario.
I beg your pardon?
I didn't hear you, Thompson, dear, because I was far, far away. I was watching my life go by.
The way you say that, Nita, you sound as though it were a full-length picture. When, after all, at your age, it can scarcely be more than a mere preview.
Thank you, Thomas.
Well, how did it look to you?
Oh, spotty. Both as to script and acting.
That's all? Care to point that statement up a little for me?
I don't think it's necessary, do you?
Well, I don't know. Will there be any extensive cutting on this picture of your life?
Cutting? No, I think everything is all right. No.
Oh, I see.
But, oh, Thompson, be sure not to miss our next thrilling episode.
What's that?
Before long, you'll find our heroine on a train, speeding her towards Chicago, and what? Huge question mark.
You've made up your mind to go, have you?
Yes, I'm finally actually going.
A letter from your father have anything to do with making up your mind to that?
What letter from father?
Why, the one that came this morning.
This morning, Tonta?
Wasn't that from your father? Looked like his handwriting.
Oh, that letter. No, that was from Cullen Andrews.
Cullen Andrews? I don't believe I know him. Do I?
Well, sure you do, Thompson. You met the Andrews in Chicago last winter. Or was it the year before?
Married man?
Yes. His wife's name is Cicely. Don't you remember them now?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Cicely. The fluffy ones. Mentally, I mean.
Yes. That's Mrs. Andrews.
But it's Mr. Andrews who writes to you. Is he the... has his letter got anything to do with your going back to Chicago so abruptly?
Why, no. Why should it?
Well, I thought... That is, it occurred to me that perhaps he had offered you a job or something.
No, Cullen hasn't offered me a job, Thompson. But I am going to have a talk with him when I get back to Chicago.
Nita didn't expand on her statement about Cullen. She felt it wasn't necessary, since it was quite evident that her astute cousin, Thompson, had already guessed that Cullen Andrews was an important factor in her separation from Wolf. You know, a lot of our friends have been so enthusiastic about Dreft's advantages in washing fine fabrics and dishes that they've made some other interesting discoveries. Yes, indeed. They weren't going to let that green and black package rest idle for very long. So, pretty soon, in many a home throughout the land, woodwork and washable painted walls began to take on an amazing sparkle and shine as gentle non-alkaline Dreft suds chased the dirt without harming surfaces or finishes. Well, and there was only a step to other things. Washable curtains, upholstery, chromium surfaces, and all washable fabrics and materials that must be cleaned with the gentlest possible care. And, lady, that's where Dreft's superb mildness comes in. Yes, and you'll find this out for yourself the very first time you try patented new Dreft suds for those many cleaning jobs around the house. Do it soon, won't you? And don't worry about your hands. Dreft suds are wonderfully gentle. Today, ask your dealer for patented new Dreft, D-R-E-F-T, Dreft, in the new economical giant size.
Me, Henry, you've got a new teapot and cups to match. Well, this is something.
Out in Montana, a new match is in the making, while in the East, Nita takes steps toward the dissolution of an old one. Tomorrow, in Lone Journey. Some of us live our lives in quiet places, some amid storms. Listen to a story of courage and understanding and hearts held high against the storm. The program follows immediately over this station. Your announcer is Durward Kirby. This is the National Broadcasting Company.